Happy birthday, Melanie, Vanessa said.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Still recovering from last night? There was a hint of amusement in her voice.
Ugh.
Mel sprawled out on her bed.
How do you know about that?
James, I woke up to a long and interesting voicemail from him. He is quite talkative when drunk.
I noticed.
Everything that James had told her about Vanessa came flooding back. It was all too much to process right now.
I take it you haven't checked your email today? Vanessa asked.
Not yet. I just woke up.
Well, you might want to take a look. I have to go, but I'll see you in the evening.
Mel stretched out her arms with a smile. She was actually looking forward to celebrating her birthday with Vanessa. Then she remembered.
I'm supposed to work.
No, you're not. I asked James to write you into the roster for tonight so you'd keep it free. You don't actually have a shift.
How long have you been planning this? Mel's work schedule came out a couple of weeks in advance. Vanessa hadn't asked her about her birthday until a few days ago.
Oh, for quite some time now.
Mel sat up and dragged her hands through her hair. Perhaps Vanessa's comment about canceling the helicopter ride wasn't a joke. And she should have felt uncomfortable about Vanessa manipulating her schedule. But she was becoming used to being subject to Vanessa's whims, and she hated to admit it. But in this case, it was kind of sweet.
I'll see you this evening, Vanessa said.
Sure.
Mel hung up the phone and checked the time. Crap. It was 11:55. Mel had slept through her alarm. She leapt out of bed. Her email would have to wait. Mel made it to campus with a few minutes to spare. It wasn't until the end of her last class that she remembered to check her email. As she and Jess walked out of the building, Mel took her phone out of her bag and scrolled through her emails. They were mostly junk. Nothing from Vanessa. But she had an email from the financial aid office that had been sent this morning. Had she missed a student loan payment? As she read on, she stopped in her tracks.
Mel, is everything okay? Jess asked.
Yeah.
What is it?
My student loans. Someone paid them off. Completely.
Wow. Jess gaped at her. Do you think it was Vanessa?
Mel nodded. It could only be her.
That's amazing, Mel, right?
Mel nodded again, but familiar feelings were brewing inside of her. This was too much. There was no way she could accept this.
Is it a birthday present? I'm surprised you told her about your birthday.
I didn't. She figured it out herself. And she has this big evening all planned out, but she won't tell me anything about it.
Now that Mel thought about it, Vanessa didn't even tell her where they would meet.
Sounds like she likes to keep you on your toes.
Jess trailed off, her eyes staring out into the distance. Mel followed Jess's gaze across the lawn. Vanessa had come to pick her up again, and this time she was holding an enormous bouquet of yellow and white daffodils. Mel had made an offhand comment about how much she loved daffodils once before. She never expected that Vanessa would remember it. Mel turned to Jess.
No. You're not running off this time, Jess said. I want to meet her.
Mel groaned. She was not prepared for Vanessa and Jess to meet, but Jess didn't care. With a confidence that rivaled Vanessa's, she made a beeline for the parking lot. Mel only just caught up with her before she got to Vanessa.
Happy birthday, Melanie.
Balancing the bouquet in one hand, Vanessa pulled Mel into a long, deep kiss. Jess coughed quietly to the side. Mel broke off, suddenly conscious of all the students walking past the parking lot. Vanessa gave Jess a warm smile.
You must be Jess. Melanie has told me all about you.
Oh, really? Good things, I hope, Jess said.
Yes, she said you're going to be a formidable lawyer one day.
Mel watched Jess's face turn pink. Apparently, Mel wasn't the only one who Vanessa's charms worked on. Vanessa turned to Mel and handed her the flowers.
These are for you.
Thanks. They're beautiful. Mel held them up to her nose and breathed deeply. They smelled as wonderful as they looked.
So, what do you have planned for Mel's birthday? Jess asked Vanessa.
Quite a bit. I'm going to spoil her more than anyone ever has spoiled her before, Vanessa said.
Well, try to keep her out of trouble,
Jess joked.
I can't make any promises. Vanessa shot Mel a suggestive glance.
Jess smirked, a knowing look on her face.
Don't you have a bus to catch, Jess? Mel said. You know, at the other side of campus. Okay, I get the hint. Have fun tonight.
Jess turned back to Vanessa.
It was lovely to meet you.
The pleasure is mine, Vanessa replied.
Jess giggled.
Bye, Melanie. Don't forget about brunch on Sunday. I want to hear all about your evening. Okay, bye, Jess, Mel said through gritted teeth.
She watched Jess disappear around the corner. Vanessa walked around the car and opened the passenger side door.
Your friend seems nice.
Mel grumbled wordlessly and sat down. Vanessa took the flowers from Mel's hands and placed them in the back seat.
Let's get out of here.
Mel set down her fork and leaned back in her chair.
This is delicious.
Isn't it divine? Vanessa said. This is one of the best restaurants in the city. It's very hard to get a table.
Luckily, I know the chef. You went through all this trouble for me?
All I did was call in a favor. It's nothing, really.
This is not nothing.
The small, intimate restaurant was finer than any that Mel had ever been to. From the shiny silver cutlery to the crisp white tablecloths, everything in the room was pristine and rich. Their dinner, which they were halfway through, ran several courses. And there were no other diners. They had the whole restaurant to themselves.
And I seem to remember saying, nothing over the top, Mel said. Is booking out an entire restaurant your idea of low-key?
Trust me, this isn't over the top, Vanessa replied. If I had my way, we'd be on a flight to Paris right now.
You're not even joking, are you?
Maybe, maybe not.
Vanessa poured them both another glass of wine, hand-picked by the restaurant sommelier. The bottle was almost empty already.
Thank you, Mel said. For all of this.
Mel appreciated being able to spend some one-on-one time with Vanessa that didn't involve Mel getting tied to something. Not that she minded that part, but it was a welcome change of pace. Vanessa smiled.
Didn't I tell you that you would love it?
Yes, you were right.
Aren't I always?
Vanessa reached across the table and placed her hand on Mel's arm.
See? Sometimes it's worth giving something new a chance.
I know. It's just hard, you know, to be open to anything new and different after being disappointed so many times.
Mel picked up her fork and prodded at her food.
It's silly of me, I know.
Why do you do that? Vanessa asked.
Do what?
Dismiss your feelings. Pretend that they aren't important.
I'm not...
Mel sighed.
It's a habit, I guess. When I was growing up, having any feelings at all was a weakness I could never afford to indulge in. I always felt like I had to be strong all the time because I had no one else I could rely on.
Where were your parents in all this? Vanessa asked.
My dad left when I was young, and my mom didn't like how much I reminded her of my dad. So she basically left me to fend for myself. And she was an alcoholic, so she wasn't exactly reliable. She always found new ways to let me down. And even when she was actually around,
She wasn't really present.
Mel blinked. She had never told anyone that much about her parents. Not since Kim. And Kim had only used it against her. That's awful. I'm sorry. No child deserves to be treated like that. Mel shrugged.
Well, at the very least, it taught me to be independent. And it made me want to escape my dead-end life and make something of myself. It's probably why I'm such a control freak. I've always tried to create a sense of stability to cope with the uncertainty that was around me as a kid.
Vanessa gave Mel a small smile. We're all products of our upbringing, aren't we? My parents? They had high expectations of me, to the point where they were overbearing and controlling. She took a sip of her wine. My father was a mechanic and my mother was a nurse. They spent their entire lives working themselves into the ground. They wanted me to have a better life than they did, so they put a lot of pressure on me to succeed. That sounds hard. It was. As their only child, they put all their hopes and dreams on me. They loved me, but their love was conditional on me being perfect in every way. So I ended up internalizing their attitudes. I told myself that I had to excel at everything I did, and I sought to control those around me, like my parents did to me, which I clearly haven't outgrown. We're all hostages of our pasts. They sat in comfortable silence as they waited for the next course. It arrived with another bottle of wine. By the time they had finished with everything but dessert, they were halfway through the second bottle. Suddenly, Mel remembered. Vanessa, you paid off my student loans?
Yes. It was nothing, really. To be honest, I wasn't sure if it would make you happy or mad. I know how independent you are.
It bothered me a little at first, but then I realized I was being irrational, Mel said. Either that, or your lavish gifts are softening me up.
Really? Because I've been holding back, Vanessa said. Next time I'll have Elena drop off a new car for you, or keys to a bigger apartment.
I don't think so, Mel said, trying to look as resolute as possible.
Suit yourself.
I'm going to keep working at the lounge, Mel said. She didn't need to anymore. Without loans to pay off, her scholarships would cover most of her living expenses.
I expected as much, Vanessa said.
If it were up to me, you wouldn't have to work another day in your life. I'd look after you in every way.
Mel raised an eyebrow.
What, like some sort of sugar baby?
You would never allow that, would you?
You should know you're the first woman who hasn't simply let me do whatever the hell I want with you. Outside the bedroom, that is.
Vanessa lowered her voice. You have no idea how infuriating it is. It only makes me want you even more.
Mel suppressed a smile. Knowing that she drove Vanessa crazy in her own way was extremely satisfying.
I do respect you for it, though. I respect anyone who values independence. Besides, I think your friends would miss you if you quit working at the lounge. James in particular.
Vanessa smiled.
You made quite an impression last night.
Oh, God. Mel buried her face in her hands. What was on the voicemail James left you?
Quite a lot, including something about you all getting kicked out of the bar. He was quite drunk. It was very hard to understand him.
Mel groaned.
He also gave me a bit of a lecture about you. He went on and on about how amazing you are and told me never to hurt you. I think he's taken quite the liking to you.
Mel felt a warmth rise up her face. She wasn't sure what to make of James's sudden protectiveness.
I assured him that I would never do anything to hurt you. You know that, right?
There was a softness in Vanessa's eyes that Mel had never seen before. The chef approached the table. He was carrying a small, elaborately decorated chocolate cake with several candles and sparklers sticking out of it. He gave them both a warm smile as he placed it on the center of the table, then disappeared back into the kitchen. Mel stared at the extravagant creation.
"Did you do this, Vanessa?"
"I assure you that was all Joseph." Vanessa sighed. "He's the chef. I had to tell him it was your birthday for us to get the restaurant for the night, but I made him promise not to make a fuss." She glanced down at the cake. "He's been known to come out singing, so I suppose this is him being discreet."
"It looks delicious," Mel said.
Vanessa pushed the cake toward Mel. "Happy birthday." Mel blew out the candles and watched the sparklers burn down.
"This is definitely the best birthday I've ever had."
"It's not over yet," Vanessa said in a smooth, low voice. "I still have one last present for you."
"Oh?" Mel smiled. "What kind of present?"
"You'll find out soon enough." Vanessa slid her bare foot up Mel's leg under the table. "Now hurry up and eat your dessert." Chapter 15.
"This view is stunning."
Mel turned on the spot in the center of the enormous penthouse suite. The glass walls gave a 360-degree view of the city beneath them. The twinkling city lights looked like a reflection of the night sky above. Mel examined the room. There were bottles of champagne and ice on the dining table. Soft, fluffy robes hung from hooks on the wall. The huge bed was on a raised platform and looked soft enough to drown in.
"It's breathtaking, isn't it?" Vanessa asked.
"I remember how much you enjoyed watching the sunset on that rooftop, so I thought you might like the view here. I called in another favor to get this room. It was worth it, just to see you smile."
"Did Vanessa really rent a penthouse suite because she thought I'd like the view?"
Mel suddenly found herself overwhelmed.
"What's the matter?"
Vanessa sat Mel down on the couch. All of Mel's emotions poured out at once.
"All this, the loans, the dinner, the hotel, it's too much."
"No, it's not." Vanessa took Mel's hand. "Why is it so hard for you to accept things from others, or to let them in? Do you think you don't deserve love and happiness?"
"No, I..."
Mel trailed off.
"Melanie, look at me."
Vanessa looked deep into Mel's eyes.
"You deserve the world, and you don't have to go through life alone."
Mel searched the depths of her heart. Vanessa was right. Sometimes Mel did feel like she didn't deserve to be happy. It was a side effect of a childhood spent alone and unloved. But she knew it was irrational. Maybe just for one night, she could let go of all her doubts and insecurities and enjoy the moment.
"You're right. I'm being silly," Mel smiled.
"Thank you, Vanessa. This was the perfect night." Vanessa kissed her. Mel laid her head on Vanessa's shoulder, and they sat in silence, sinking into each other. After a while, Mel peered up at Vanessa from under her eyelashes.
"Didn't you say you have one more present for me?"
"Are you sure you're up for it?"
Mel planted a fiery kiss on a very surprised Vanessa.
"Yes, definitely."
"You're insatiable."
Vanessa pushed Mel down onto the couch and pressed her lips against Mel's. A low rumble rose from Mel's chest. Vanessa's lips tasted faintly of wine. She pulled Mel up off the couch and guided her to an open space in front of a large mirror on the wall. Vanessa grabbed the hem of Mel's blouse and drew it up over her head, then tugged Mel's skirt down to the floor. Vanessa ran her fingers over the cups of Mel's lacy purple bra.
These were my first gift to you.
A light smile crossed Vanessa's lips.
I love seeing you in things that are mine.
This was the reaction Mel had been hoping for when she had chosen to wear that set of lingerie. Vanessa didn't need to tell her what to wear or what to do anymore. Mel could anticipate Vanessa's every impulse without her speaking a word. But she still delighted in following Vanessa's orders. And she loved the satisfaction that her obedience gave the other woman.
As lovely as you look in this, it's in my way, Vanessa said.
She stripped Mel's bra from her body.
Stay right there.
Mel watched in the mirror as Vanessa strode over to the table and opened up a large leather bag that was sitting on top of it. She pulled out several coils of thick red rope. All up, it was enough to truss up Mel's body from head to toe several times over. Vanessa returned to her side.
Close your eyes for me. Keep them shut until I tell you to open them, and put your hands behind your back.
Mel obeyed. Vanessa folded Mel's arms against her back, one forearm on top of the other. She wound the rope around the length of Mel's arms in a series of loops and knots. Mel wriggled her arms. She couldn't move them at all. Mel was no stranger to restraints by now, but this was a far higher level of immobilization. Her pulse quickened.
Are you all right, my pet?
Yes, Vanessa.
Mel's nerves were more out of excitement than anxiety.
Vanessa kissed Mel on the back of her shoulder.
This will take a while. Try to relax. You'll enjoy it more if you do.
As Vanessa wound the ropes around Mel's torso, she focused her senses on everything around her. The pressure of the soft rope on her skin, tight but not constricting. Vanessa's hands and fingers on her chest and back. Everywhere Vanessa touched left a faint tingling behind. It was almost sensual. By the time Vanessa was done, Mel felt light and serene.
Open your eyes, Vanessa said.
Mel looked at herself in the mirror. The red rope crisscrossed over her chest and shoulders and around her breasts. Underneath her bound arms, her back was a mirror image of her front. A length of rope dangled from the center of her chest. It's shibari, Japanese rope bondage. Some consider it an art. Vanessa said.
You make a perfect canvas.
It's beautiful. Mel turned to each side, admiring the snug rope harness that Vanessa had created.
It is, and very hard to master. It can be dangerous if you do it wrong. But do it right, and the possibilities are endless.
Vanessa picked up the rope attached to Mel's chest and pulled on it gently. As Mel tipped toward her, she planted a long, lingering kiss on Mel's lips. Using the rope like a leash, she led Mel up to the bed. Then she pressed her hand into the center of Mel's chest and pushed her backward onto it. Mel tumbled onto the bed. She shifted onto her side, taking the weight off her arms, and watched Vanessa pull off her blouse and shimmy out of her skirt. The sight of Vanessa's body out of reach of Mel's bound hands made Mel hunger for her even more.
Close your eyes, Vanessa said, and don't move.
Once again, Mel closed her eyes and lay there in silence, tied up and waiting for Vanessa. She could hear Vanessa rifling around in the bag again. There was a soft thud as something fell to the table, followed by some sounds that Mel didn't recognize. Just when the temptation to peek became too much, she heard Vanessa's footsteps on the plush carpet coming toward her. Vanessa climbed onto the bed and straddled Mel's body. She felt something hard and cool against her stomach.
Open your eyes, Vanessa said.
Mel opened her eyes. Vanessa was kneeling over her, naked, her pale red nipples standing up on her ivory breasts, and extending out from between her legs was a smooth black strap-on. Before this moment, Mel had never understood the appeal of strap-ons. But seeing Vanessa kneeling above her, the ebony cock contrasting against Vanessa's milky white skin, made Mel throb between her thighs. Nervous anticipation welled up inside her. Somehow, the incongruity between the phallic strap-on and Vanessa's feminine curves made it even hotter. "Don't worry. I'm going to take it very, very slow. When I'm through with you, you'll be more than ready for me." Vanessa's words sounded more like a threat than reassurance. Mel lay helpless underneath Vanessa as she made good on her promise. She teased Mel with her fingertips, her lips, her entire body. She pressed her breasts against Mel's. She wrapped her mouth around Mel's nipples and sucked and licked and bit. She slid off Mel's panties and slipped her fingers down to where Mel's thighs met. Mel moaned softly. By now, Vanessa could read Mel's body without her saying a word. She knew what drove Mel wild. She knew what pushed Mel toward the edge. And she knew how to get Mel just close enough to make her tremble and cry out without sending her over it. With Vanessa's fingers and lips on Mel's breasts and her hands between Mel's legs, Mel was quickly reduced to a whimpering, panting mess. Finally, Vanessa guided the strap-on between Mel's lips and ran the smooth shaft up and down her slit. Mel pushed herself up toward Vanessa. She couldn't take any more of this. "Please, Vanessa, please, I need you inside me." Vanessa stopped. She flipped Mel onto her back and planted three firm spanks on her ass cheeks. Mel gasped. "Did I ask you to beg, my pet?" Vanessa brushed her fingertips along Mel's stinging skin. "No, Vanessa." Mel bit her lip. Like most of Vanessa's discipline, this only turned her on even more. "For that, I should leave you here on the bed, panting and helpless. Would you like that?" Vanessa's soft, sweet tone was at odds with her words. "No, Vanessa." "I didn't think so. Don't forget that you belong to me. I decide when you're ready." "Yes, Vanessa." "You're very lucky that it's your birthday." Vanessa grabbed the shaft of the strap-on and slid the tip down between Mel's cheeks all the way to her entrance. Mel's breathing grew heavier and heavier. Slowly, Vanessa pushed herself inside, filling Mel completely. Vanessa grabbed Mel's hips and began to thrust in and out, rocking the whole bed with her movements. Jolts of pleasure shot through Mel's body as Vanessa pushed against that sweet spot inside. Mel rose back to meet Vanessa, every movement making the rope harness pull and roll and dig into Mel's skin. Over the creaking of the bed, she could hear Vanessa's own muted murmurs. Vanessa withdrew and rolled Mel onto her back. "Look at me," she said. Mel looked up into Vanessa's dark, piercing eyes. They were filled with need. "Don't close your eyes," Vanessa whispered. "I want to stare into them and see the moment when you come undone." Vanessa sank into Mel again, sending a shockwave through Mel's body from her core. She rolled her hips, pushing and grinding in time with Vanessa's thrusts, her arms straining and aching under her weight. Their movements became more and more frantic, more fevered. All the while, Mel resisted the reflex to shut her eyes. Mel locked her legs around Vanessa's waist. All it took was a few more thrusts, and she lost control. She closed her eyes as the heat in her core flared hot and bright and ripped through her entire body. They both collapsed on the bed, breathless, sweaty, and satisfied. Hours later, Mel stood by the window, gazing out at the city skyline. Vanessa was in the shower, rinsing off the sweat they had worked up. Mel reached out and touched the glass. This wasn't just some wonderful dream. It was real. She couldn't have asked for a better birthday. Sure, the extravagance of it all had been novel and exciting, but what made Mel happy was the fact that for the entire day, Vanessa had made her feel special, cherished, loved. Mel closed her eyes. She wasn't a kid anymore. The days of her being tossed aside and forgotten were long in the past. It didn't bother her, but Mel couldn't deny that it had hardened her, that over time she had put up all these walls to protect herself, and Vanessa was tearing them all down. Mel heard Vanessa's footsteps across the floor, behind her. She watched Vanessa's reflection get closer and closer. Vanessa draped her arms around Mel's shoulders and pulled Mel back into her. "What's on your mind?"
"Nothing." Mel reached up and placed her hands on Vanessa's. "I'm just happy."
"I'm glad. Your happiness means a lot to me." Mel's heart fluttered at Vanessa's words. "There are still a few minutes left of your birthday. Do you have any requests?"
"Anything that's in my power to do, I'll do it."
Mel turned around and looked into Vanessa's eyes. "I just want to hold you." A gentle smile spread across Vanessa's face, and she pulled Mel toward the bed. Chapter 16. Mel entered the restaurant. She spotted Jess sitting at a table in the corner and made her way over to her friend. Mel had barely sat down before Jess started asking her questions.
"How is your evening with Vanessa?" Jess asked.
"Who, by the way, is incredible."
"It was good."
Mel looked down at the menu with a smile.
"Really good."
"What's that supposed to mean? Did she take you out? Did you stay in? I want details."
"Okay, but I'm going to need coffee first."
"Sure, it's my treat. Consider it a late birthday present."
A waiter came over and took their orders. Mel declined Jess's offer of a mimosa. She had done enough drinking on her birthday to last the whole month. Mel recounted the events of the night to Jess, skipping over the more explicit part of the evening. Their meals arrived just as Mel was finishing up.
"And the next morning, we stayed in bed talking and watching the sun come up."
Jess said nothing. She had a strange look on her face.
"What? What is it?"
"Well, that all sounds extremely romantic. Are things still just physical between you two?"
"Yes," Mel said.
"We agreed from the start that this wasn't going to be a relationship. Neither of us wants that."
"Are you sure? How do you know that Vanessa doesn't want something more? She really seems to care about you. Hell, even the way she looked at you when she came to pick you up the other day seemed like a lot more than just physical attraction."
"I doubt it. We have become a lot closer, but she's still so guarded all the time, especially when it comes to anything personal."
Mel wrapped her hands around her coffee cup.
"Whenever we get together, it's always at Vanessa's room in the lounge or somewhere else. I've never been to her place. I don't even know where she lives, and she rarely tells me about anything that's going on in her life."
Mel recalled those phone calls that Vanessa frequently received that would leave her unsettled.
"You could always, I don't know, talk to her about this stuff," Jess said.
Mel shrugged.
"It's not a big deal. I don't want to make something out of nothing."
"If you say so."
Mel attacked her French toast, ignoring Jess's skeptical looks. She hadn't told Jess what really made her feel like Vanessa was holding her at arm's length. When it came to the two of them, Vanessa refused to show the slightest hint of vulnerability. Given the nature of their relationship, it was expected to some extent, and Mel didn't want that to change. She liked being submissive. She liked giving Vanessa all the power. Mel liked belonging to her. But she wanted something of Vanessa in exchange. She wanted real intimacy. Sure, Vanessa would lavish Mel with affection after a scene. But Mel wanted to touch Vanessa in the heat of things, to feel Vanessa's body react under her fingertips. Mel wanted to hold Vanessa in the height of her own pleasure, at the moment of her release, and Vanessa's release, if only she would permit it. She hadn't since that night at the lounge that started all this. Mel put Vanessa out of her mind. "How are things with Brett?"
"We broke up," Jess replied. "I'm seeing Brendan now. We have a date tonight."
"Brendan? The boring guy? Didn't you two break up?"
"Yeah, but we got back together again. He showed up at my place with roses, and I just couldn't..."
Jess looked off into the distance, a faraway look in her eyes.
"I think I'm in love with him."
"That's great, Jess," Mel said. For once, Jess sounded like she actually meant it. Jess smiled.
"Plus, he's not as boring as I thought he was.
Turns out he was hiding his kinky side." Mel shook her head. "I'm glad you found someone."
"Thanks."
She was grinning from ear to ear. Halfway through brunch, they were interrupted by the chime of Mel's phone. She glanced down at it on the table next to her. It was a message from Vanessa. Mel had been waiting to hear from her all morning.
"Let me guess," Jess said. "Vanessa?"
"Yeah."
"I'll look at it later."
Mel silenced her phone. She didn't want to be rude.
"I knew it. You always get this goopy smile when she messages or calls you, which seems to be a lot these days.
It's only because she's been away on business again."
"Oh, so she's checking up on you?"
"It's not like that," Mel said weakly.
"Uh-huh. It would save you a lot of trouble if you would just admit that you have feelings for her."
Was Jess right? These days, whenever Mel found herself thinking about Vanessa, it wasn't all the kinky things they did together that played in her mind. It was the little things, the parts of Vanessa that made her, well, her. The faint curve of her lips when she was content. The way Vanessa would sweep Mel's hair out of her face. The way Mel's name rolled off Vanessa's tongue. The way that, despite Mel's best efforts, Vanessa had broken through all her defenses. Mel sighed. This wasn't supposed to happen. She didn't want to get that close to anyone. The last person she'd given her heart to had used her and manipulated her, then had tossed her aside like she was nothing. But Vanessa was different, wasn't she?
"Just look at the damn message, Mel," Jess said. "I don't mind."
"Thanks, Jess." Mel grabbed her phone and read Vanessa's message.
"Is everything okay?"
"Yeah. Vanessa just wants to know if I'm free next week, Saturday."
"And?" Jess asked.
"Well, usually she just texts me to meet her somewhere or says she's going to come pick me up. She never actually asks.
And not this far in advance." "Do you think it means something?"
"I don't know." Mel sent back a message saying that she was free. The reply came almost immediately. "Good. I'll have Elena send some things over for the occasion." Mel frowned.
"What's the occasion?"
"You'll find out when the time comes. V." Mel put down her phone. Vanessa was up to her usual games.
"Wow," Jess said. "You've really got it bad."
Mel stood out in front of her apartment building, her hands on her knees, breathing hard. She hadn't been for a run in weeks. Between school, work, and Vanessa, she barely had the time. And she hadn't felt the compulsion to run in a while. As she caught her breath, she noticed a black Mercedes-Benz parked out the front of her building. Mel bounded up to her apartment, ignoring her body's protests. Was Vanessa back from her trip? When she reached the top of the stairs, she saw not Vanessa, but Elena standing at her door. Her disappointment was replaced by excitement when she saw what was in the woman's arms. Elena held several boxes, shopping bags, and an opaque garment bag.
"Hello, Melanie,"
Elena said. "Hi, Elena," Mel said between breaths. "How long have you been standing there?"
"Not long."
Elena stepped aside as Mel unlocked her door.
"These are for you, from Miss Harper."
Was that a smile? It was hard to tell with Elena. "Thanks." Mel took the boxes from Elena and placed them on the table inside, then returned for the bags.
"I will be picking you up on Saturday at 8 o'clock p.m.,
Elena said. "Okay, thanks." Why didn't Vanessa just tell Mel herself? Elena lingered at the door.
"There's something else. Here."
She reached into her pocket and produced a business card. She handed it to Mel.
"If you ever find yourself in trouble or in need of anything, give me a call. I will find a way to help you. I'm more than Miss Harper's driver. I'm also something like her personal assistant, so I'm very resourceful."
Mel stared at the card. It had Elena's name and number on it. Did Vanessa ask you to give this to me?
"No, but part of my job includes anticipating Miss Harper's needs. This is me doing that."
Mel stared at Elena blankly.
"How do I put this? You're important to Vanessa, so if I can help you in any way, she would want me to do so. That's why I'm giving you my number."
"Okay." Mel still wasn't quite sure what was going on.
"Good. We understand each other."
Elena gave Mel a courteous nod.
"I will see you on Saturday."
She walked off down the hall. Mel rushed back into her apartment and threw the bags down on the bed. She hung the garment bag on the back of the door and drew the zipper down. Wow.
Wow.
Where the hell was Vanessa taking Mel on Saturday? Chapter 17.
"So Vanessa still hasn't told you anything about where she's taking you?"
Jess piled Mel's brown curls on the top of her head. How she'd managed to curl Mel's hair was a mystery. Nope. Since receiving Vanessa's cryptic message, Mel had tried to get the information out of Vanessa, with no success. Vanessa had sent her gift delivery early in the week, leaving Mel with plenty of time to mull over things.
Was this just another of her games?
Well, it has to be somewhere pretty fancy if it calls for all this.
Jess stuck another hairpin in Mel's hair. Mel winced.
"She didn't actually tell me to do my hair and makeup, but based on the outfit she gave me, I definitely need to glam up. Thanks for helping me out, by the way. I'm hopeless with this stuff."
"No problem. You should let me do this more often."
Jess had brought her huge collection of makeup and hair products with her to Mel's apartment.
"Don't get your hopes up," Mel said.
Jess placed another pin.
"All done."
Mel stood up and went to look in the mirror.
"No, you have to put the dress on first."
"Okay, fine. Can you give me a hand?"
Mel slipped out of her robe. If Jess noticed the modest but sexy lingerie Mel was wearing, bought by Vanessa, of course, she said nothing. Mel stepped into the dress.
"I still can't believe she bought you an Ellie Saab gown," Jess said.
"Am I supposed to know who that is?"
"God, Mel, you're so clueless. Do you even know how much this all cost?"
"Nope, and I don't want to."
Mel had gotten to the point where she no longer thought about how much money Vanessa was spending on her. She wanted to enjoy Vanessa's gifts, and she couldn't when she was thinking about how expensive they were. Jess tugged the zipper all the way to the top.
"There you go.
Can I look now?"
"Go ahead."
Jess had a big grin on her face. When Mel looked in the mirror, she barely recognized the woman standing in front of her. Her hair was piled up on her head in a neat tangle of curls. Her eyes were dark and smoky, and her lips were a lustrous pinkish red. Her dress was breathtaking. The chiffon gown flowed down her shoulders all the way to the floor. The delicate fabric rippled and fluttered with every movement. It was a deep shade of blue that Mel adored, and it fit her perfectly. Wow. Mel twirled around in front of the mirror, something she hadn't done since she was 6.
You look amazing, Jess said. Vanessa is going to lose it when she sees you.
Mel smiled. She had to admit, she looks pretty hot.
What about the jewelry?
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Mel sifted through the pile of bags and boxes which her outfit had come in. She found the jewelry box. It held a pair of silver sapphire earrings and a matching bracelet. Vanessa herself was always wearing sapphires. Mel put them on.
Is that it?
Jess picked up the empty jewelry box, frowning.
No necklace? That's weird.
That's everything. Mel's outfit seemed fine as it was, but Jess was the fashion expert. There was a knock on the door.
Elena must be here already.
Elena?
Jess asked. Vanessa's driver. Mel hurriedly put on the pair of strappy heels that Vanessa had sent her.
Of course she has her own driver. No sports car this time?
Nope. Vanessa said she had to go early, so she sent Elena to pick me up. I'm meeting her there, wherever there is. It was all very mysterious. Mel finally got into her heels. She looked around for her purse.
Here.
Jess handed Mel the clutch.
I'll pack everything up and get out of here. I have so much studying to do.
Jess grinned.
I guess we've switched places, huh? I'm glad you're finally letting yourself have a bit of fun these days.
Thanks, Jess.
Wish me luck, Mel said. You don't need it.
Jess hugged her.
Vanessa is clearly head over heels for you.
Mel looked out the car window. They were almost at the outskirts of the city. She located the button to roll down the privacy screen and pressed it. Elena glanced back at her in the rearview mirror.
Yes?
Where are you taking me?
Mel asked.
Sorry, Vanessa told me not to say anything. And I'm sure you know how she is about people following her orders.
She winked at Mel in the mirror. Mel flushed, causing Elena to chuckle. Mel decided to change the subject.
How long have you been Vanessa's driver?
5 years or so.
What's it like, working for her?
I enjoy it. She doesn't work me too hard and pays me very well. In exchange, I'm expected to do things that are well outside of my job description whenever she wants me to, like picking up her dry cleaning and tracking down things that she wants. Like I said, I'm basically her assistant, but I don't mind. It keeps things interesting.
You must know her pretty well by now.
I do. I knew her before I started working for her. Vanessa and my wife are friends.
They chatted away casually. Elena was a woman of few words, but she asked Mel lots of questions and listened intently to her answers. Eventually, the conversation died down and they drove along in silence. After a while, Elena looked back at Mel.
You know, Vanessa doesn't usually take anyone to these things.
What things?
Mel asked. They had been driving for almost an hour now. She was getting restless.
You're about to find out. Look out your window.
Mel rolled down her window. They were on the grounds of a large modern mansion. The White House overlooked a huge manicured lawn that was dotted with fountains and gardens. As they approached the house, Mel saw that there were groups of people milling around at the entrance. All wore evening gowns and tuxes. The car stopped at the front of the house. Elena got out and opened the door for Mel, holding out her hand to help Mel out. Mel was grateful. Her heels and floor-length dress weren't easy to move in.
Mel stepped out onto the path and scanned the crowd. There. Vanessa was standing near the mansion's entrance, deep in conversation with a pair of older women. She looked so beautiful. Like Mel, Vanessa wore a floor-length gown, as black as her hair, which shimmered silver in the light. Silver heels and jewelry topped off the look. Her dark eyeshadow brought out the blue in her eyes, and her lips were a rich, deep red. Her loose hair flowed down her shoulders in waves. Melanie. Vanessa broke away and strolled over to Mel. She placed her hands on Mel's waist and kissed her lightly on the lips. Vanessa, you look beautiful, Mel said. And you look exquisite. Vanessa looked Mel up and down, drinking her in. It's all thanks to you. Mel smoothed down her dress. I love this dress. The color is gorgeous. I thought you might like it. But I'm not talking about the dress. I'm talking about you. Mel's face grew hot. She had done all manner of kinky things with Vanessa, yet a simple compliment from her made Mel blush like a schoolgirl. She looked around. What's all this? It's my annual charity fundraiser. Well, it's my company's fundraiser. The city's rich have deep pockets. This is a way to use it for good for once. Why did you bring me here? Because I want you here, by my side. Mel's heart swelled in her chest. Here, I have something for you. Vanessa held out a flat, square jewelry box. Open it. Mel opened the box gingerly. Inside was a thin silver choker. It had a round ring hanging from the front of it, nestled between two small sapphires. It was subtle enough that it appeared to be nothing more than a fashionable necklace. But Mel knew what it was. A collar. Do you like it? Vanessa asked. Mel traced her fingertips over the necklace. Yes, I love it. Turn around. I'll put it on for you. Vanessa fastened the choker around Mel's neck, the brush of her fingertips making the hairs stand up on Mel's skin. She spun Mel back around. A perfect fit. It suits you. Mel reached up to touch the necklace. The ring at the front sat perfectly in the hollow at the base of her neck. Let's head inside. Vanessa held out her arm for Mel to hold, and they walked toward the building. They attracted quite a few stares on the way in. To a crowd filled with wealthy conservatives, two women together was still scandalous enough to turn heads. Vanessa either didn't notice or didn't care. Mel couldn't stop touching her necklace. They stepped through the door. The mansion was just as spectacular on the inside. Mel and Vanessa followed the stream of people into a large, packed ballroom. A band played cool jazz from the front of the room. There was a bar to the side, and a silent auction set up in one corner. Mel didn't get a chance to gawk. As soon as they entered the room, Vanessa was ambushed by guests wanting to talk to her. Vanessa would introduce Mel, then the conversation would move on to business matters. Vanessa occasionally dropped Mel little bits of information, but mercifully didn't expect her to join the conversation. As Vanessa chatted away, Mel simply stood next to Vanessa, luxuriating in it all. The music, the food, the mansion itself. It was magical. I hope you didn't find that too boring. Vanessa had fended off the last of the guests. Politeness requires that I at least make small talk with most of the guests. There are some very important people here tonight. I don't mind. I'm happy just being here. With you, Mel almost said. They wandered over to where the silent auction was set up. Mel scanned the prizes. Each was more extravagant than the last. There wasn't a single item going for less than six figures. Vanessa picked up a brochure for a holiday on a private island in the middle of the Pacific. How would you like to come on an island getaway, my pet? Seriously? Yes, It's for a good cause, after all. Vanessa scribbled an outrageous number on the clipboard. It was by far the highest bid there, and it had to be at least 3 times what the trip was worth. Mel's eyes widened. Vanessa, I couldn't. You can, and you will. She put the clipboard back down.
It's already done. We can go during the summer when you're done with your internship.
Mel was both too dumbfounded and excited to reply.
Come on, let's go get some air, Vanessa said.
They wandered out through the double doors and into the garden. For what felt like the 100th time that night, Mel looked around in awe. There were topiaries cut into elaborate shapes and actual marble statues. As they strolled through the garden, they passed an old, worn mirror hanging from a trellis. Catching a glance of her reflection, Mel stopped to admire her necklace. Vanessa sidled up behind her, her eyes lit with desire. She wrapped her arms around Mel's shoulders, pulling her in close from behind.
You have no idea how long I've wanted to put a collar around your neck.
Vanessa's lips brushed Mel's ear as she whispered. Mel's heart began to race. Vanessa took Mel's chin in her fingers and tilted it to the side. Mel closed her eyes as Vanessa's lips met hers. Vanessa's hot, hungry kisses still made Mel's whole body weak.
Vanessa? I thought that was you.
Mel opened her eyes. A slender, androgynous-looking woman stood next to them. She had delicate high cheekbones and short blonde hair, and wore a suit that was perfectly tailored to her modest curves. The young woman possessed an air of cool confidence that Mel immediately knew drove every queer woman she came across wild.
Vicky, Vanessa said flatly, it's been so long.
Good to see you too, Vanessa.
Vicky raked her eyes down Mel's body and back up again.
Who's your new toy?
This is Melanie, my date.
Vanessa's jaw was set. She's not a toy, Vicky.
Really?
Vicky looked at Vanessa curiously, then turned back to Mel.
Victoria Blake. But you can call me Vicky.
Mel shook Vicky's outstretched hand. Vicky's eyes fell to the choker around Mel's neck.
That's a very interesting necklace. Did she buy it for you?
Vicky cocked her head toward Vanessa. There was no doubt that Vicky knew exactly what the necklace was.
Yes, I did,
Vanessa said. Relax, Vanessa. Vicky flicked a stray strand of hair out of her face. I'm not going to steal her from you.
It wouldn't be the first time. Tell me, are you still preying on every new girl who walks into Lilith's?
I can't help it. They're just so eager and obedient. It's too easy.
Vanessa shook her head.
You haven't changed one bit, have you, Vic?
Vicky smiled.
Why would I want to?
Mel looked from one woman to the other. Were they enjoying this? Mel was beginning to feel very out of the loop.
How do you two know each other?
She asked.
Your girlfriend here and I are old friends,
Vicky said.
Friends?
Mel raised an eyebrow.
We used to walk in a lot of the same circles, so it was unavoidable, really. Since there are relatively few lesbians on the BDSM scene, our paths crossed quite a bit.
Our paths crossed? More like we clashed, a lot. Vanessa here was the lesbian scene queen until I came along. She didn't like having a rival.
This rivalry of ours only existed in your head, Vic.
You only say that because you lost.
No, I simply had no desire to participate in your childish games.
As Vanessa and Vicky traded barbs, Mel tried to process everything that the two women were both saying and not saying. Vicky's comments made Mel even more aware of the fact that she knew very little about Vanessa's life outside of their interaction together. She had no idea if Vanessa was still as involved in the BDSM scene as Vicky suggested.